Hey everybody, how you doing? My name's Josh. I just got to tell you, I'm so in love with this church. Well, good thing. Most people hate their churches. Most people, I don't know, like, have you ever been to a church where you can kind of feel like these people do not want to be here this morning? You know what I'm saying? At least I have. I know some churches that, I don't know. I like that you guys like your congregation. I'm really kind of a son of this church. Rodney over here, I love you, dude. I just want to wrestle you and just. But Rodney was one of my best friends when I was a kid, and I don't know, I just cherish you, man. I just love you. And Roger and Melanie, the Lees, the Olsons, I mean, I just love all you guys. So, anyway, I want to introduce my team to you. Guys, will you just come up? Toast, come on in here, man. This is my amazing wife, Megan, right over here. So if I'm the mouth, she's everything else. She's the bones, she's the muscle. This is Ann Benson. Everybody say hi to Ann with her 1990s throwback shredded t-shirt thing. I love that. And then this is Kevin Tostin, so we call him Big Toast, and because he's just awesome. So Kevin does a lot of logistics stuff with us and a lot of supplies. So if you want to grab anything at our booth, this is the guy you want to talk to. Anne is a MIP. She's a missionary in process. So she is fundraising right now to become a full-time missionary with Revive Minnesota. Amen? Come on, we need missionaries to join us. As well as my wife Megan and I, we're missionaries. That is a really cute shirt. I didn't know you had that. Okay. It's good. Okay, anyway. Yeah, you can go sit down. Sorry. Anyway, so can we hear it from my team? These guys are awesome. I love it. Yeah. Guys, the last thing I want to do today is blow smoke and be about hype. Last thing you need is hype. You don't need one more shred of that. But what we do need is an infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Aren't you hungry for that? Yeah. I'm hungry for that. Lord, I just want to declare right now, I just say I'm hungry, Lord, for a fresh baptism, a new infusion of your love in me, God. Lord, we need this in the body of Christ. And Lord, this is what I pray, that as we walk out of this place, whenever this is done, whenever this plane lands, Lord, that we would be more in love with you, God, and that we'd be more in love with the body of Christ. Lord, that we would be more on fire for you, because it's you who are giving the fire, Lord. Not a preacher, not anybody, but it's you, God. We don't want to hear one more stinking sermon if you don't breathe on us, Lord. We want your breath. We want your fire. We want your power and your passion to come and fill us this morning. No hype. No hype. But just authentic Jesus. In Jesus' name I'm asking. Amen. Guys, we're part of a ministry called Revive Minnesota. I don't really want to focus so much on that today. I just really feel like I have a word for you guys. And first off, I just want to declare over this church prophetically that you are called to be pioneers. Roger and Melanie, you guys have a pioneer spirit on you. Everybody sees it on you. But I just want to acknowledge that you guys are called to be pioneers. And you're called to plow the fields that other people maybe are a little bit hesitant and reluctant on doing it. But you guys have been faithful and have had your hand to the plow. And I'm telling you, the harvest is now and the harvest is coming. It's both and. We're bringing in the harvest and then we're going to collect the harvest. But I just want to say that God is so pleased with you guys as pioneers. And the cool thing is it's not like this trickle-down effect where you guys are Moses and Miriam or whatever. Okay, that's weird. They were brother and sister. That's kind of Moses and, Zipporah, right? Yes. It's not like the anointing kind of flows down and you guys get little trickles of it. What these guys have done is they want to do this. They want to come underneath this church and they want to be like the root system and have the branches go up. And they want to see you guys launched into the kingdom destiny that God has for you. Amen? You don't want their destiny. Believe me, you do not want to be Roger Langworthy. You don't. You want to be you, but I'm telling you that there's a cool structure that God's put in place of authority that these guys are underneath and they want to launch. They want their ceiling to become your floor. How do you like that for your pastors? Come on, I think you need to give some praise to these guys for a sec, right? Guys, pioneers, that's the word. And Roger, I just thank you for the invitation to even consider Revive Dodge County. Guys, I don't know what you want, I don't know what you're hungry for. I don't know what you desire. But God is about to break open things in a way that probably many of you for generations have never seen. You guys have seen, man, I remember coming to this church as a kid. There was so much vibrancy and so much life, and just like it is now, there was just like this amazing presence of God. But I want to tell you guys that you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. And I know preachers come in and hype. Guys, I'm not talking hype. I'm saying for real, this is the word of the Lord to you. You have not seen anything yet. And what's about to take place, I believe, is going to be an unprecedented move of God in this county. And I'm telling you what, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Some big cities might have the opportunity to see a widespread revival. I'm telling you, God is choosing little Bethlehem. He's choosing Dodge County to see revival realized in this state. I'm just saying. If you got a Bible, I want you to turn to Isaiah 61. I didn't put it on the screen because I was not prepared. Thank you very much. And plus, I just love when we get into the Bible for ourselves. So, bro, if you guys want to look up these scriptures, it's totally cool. Throw them on the screen. But Isaiah 61. In Luke chapter 4, you don't have to turn there because it's a little redundant, because Isaiah 61 is basically what happened. Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes onto the scene. He explodes onto the scene. And he's in the synagogue, and he asks the attendant for a scroll. And it's Isaiah 61. Hands them the scroll. They read it, open it up. And if you got it, guys, this is what it says, Isaiah 61. Jesus said this. He quoted these words. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God," or some translations, "the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." Somebody say me. "Because the Lord has anointed me," somebody say me, "to preach good news, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Guys, I love that. Jesus didn't share all of that, but he says, I want to tell you this, that what the scripture you just heard, everybody, that's fulfilled today in my appearing. See, Jesus is saying this prophecy that Isaiah prophesied 400 years ago, he says, that was me. That's me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to restore sight to blind eyes, to release those trapped in captivity. Amen? He is. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, me. Real loud, just say, me.
Me.
Me. Not you, me. No, it is actually you and me. But I want to tell you guys this. That the Bible says this, that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in you. Me. You. You, me. It's one of those you, me things. It's like a slash you, me. It's in us. The same Spirit is inside of us. That is like the coolest news I've ever heard. I think like the gospel, you know, we talk about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and that is the pinnacle of everything. That is the beginning and the end. But guys, I want to tell you, that was the door that opens up this crazy access that God dwells inside of us now. Now his tabernacle is in you. Turn to your neighbor. Say, you. Come on, somebody. I want you to flip over to the New Testament. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Or as my Catholic brothers and sisters call it, the Acts of the Apostles. I love this. Says this, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You guys all know it. But you, say you, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Guys, I was at a youth rally, and it was totally cool. It was fine. Preacher gets up, and they're talking about, you know what the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for? It's for power! 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 It's like James Brown, like, pow, you know. So they get up, and they say that. And the whole message was focused on the power of God. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes we get a little, I'm just going to say it. Sorry, Roger. You're just going to have to do damage control. Sometimes we get a little spiritually constipated, all right? And sometimes we just need to, I don't know what, we need something. We need a Roto-Rooter or something to go. We need something because sometimes we could have all the power in the world. I believe that every person in this room, through the authority of Jesus Christ, you can lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I believe that you can win people to Christ. I believe that you can set them free. You can have all the power in the world. But guys, listen, if you never do anything with it, it gets kind of blocked up in you. And I just want to declare over you that the Holy Spirit is inside of you and he wants out. He wants out. We can have our cool power, word and power services. I'm all about that. I'm not belittling the power. But listen, guys, look at what the scripture says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be what? My witnesses. Well, okay, look, I've been in church long enough. We have these buzzwords. Well, I just witnessed to somebody, you know, like, hey, brother, are you a witness? What is a witness? What the heck is a witness? Anybody have any ideas? What's a witness? Somebody. What was that? Someone who testifies about the Lord. It's cool. Open your Bibles to this. 1 John chapter 1. I love this. This has become one of my favorite scriptures. 1 John 1. Witnesses. I'm all about the power, guys. I'm not belittling that at all. But what the Lord is looking for is witnesses. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for power, yes, but for more importantly, it is given for boldness to be his witnesses. First John 1:1. I love this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Guys, this is why we share the gospel. This is with Time to Revive, which is the overarching organization we're with, Revive Minnesota. This is our heartbeat. Look, if you guys want, I'm going to tell the pastors this week. If they want some kind of slick program, cool thing, light show, smoke and fireworks, guys, we are not slick. We're not. Man, I got a big sweat spot right here from my guitar, and it's kind of like, I feel like Jabba the Hutt right now. It's kind of like, I sweat profusely, and it's awkward sometimes. But guys, listen, I want to tell you this about our organizations, that we just want to be your servants, man. We want to humbly come alongside the local church to see and to pray into and to train and equip to hit the streets to share the gospel. That's our whole heartbeat. We just want to work with you guys. We want to come alongside these pastors that have been pressing in for years, praying for revival. We want to come alongside of them and just say, hey, how can we help? Because we believe that too. That's all we want to do. But guys, that's what we've done here, and what we've seen over and over and over in all of these states, all around the United States, we've seen miraculous things. Guys, I got to tell you what's happening in Ohio right now. Meg and I went to Ohio, what was it, babe, like a month and a half ago, something like that? Greenville, Ohio, it's right over the border from Indiana. Revival broke out in the state of Indiana from 2014. It's still going strong today. They're launched all over the states, and it's people, it's the church gathering, and then they scatter. And then they go and they preach the gospel all over their cities. Guys, they're experiencing signs, wonders, healings, miracles, all this stuff. Thousands of salvations, many baptisms, many people coming to Christ. It's just so powerful. But I got to tell you what happened in Greenville, Ohio, just a couple weeks ago. Kyle, the director of Time to Revive, he just took a small, they didn't even have cameras, I don't think. They had a camera guy kind of stand outside, but because of kids and stuff and school, it gets a little weird. So they had the audio rolling, but they didn't have the video. And so Kyle goes in, and he was invited to come and preach the gospel to the Greenville, Ohio football team. And he came in, and these guys were just, yes, this is it. 32 of those boys stood up and gave their lives to Christ on the football field. That's not even half of the cool story. What happens the day or two next, they came. 13 of those boys came to our baptism service at the church that we were at. Methodist church. It's a Methodist church. We're not talking charismatic. We're not talking Pentecostal. It's a United Methodist church that was kind of the central gathering place. And we had CMA guys. We had Pentecostals. We had ELCA Lutheran. Heaven forbid those heathens. But guys, it was the body of Christ coming together. It was so powerful. So then what happened, 13 of these boys came to get baptized that night. They were witnesses. They said, this is what we've seen. This is what we've heard. This is what happened to us yesterday. And it was amazing. But that's not even the cool story yet. So then the next day, there was some kind of situation where five of those boys went to their rival football team. And the rival football team in Dark County, they went and preached the gospel to these guys. And 22 of their rival football team stand up and give their lives to Christ. Like, this is what it's about, y'all. It's not just about a preacher preaching. It's not just about a musician playing. This is about the body of Christ doing and being launched into what we're called to do. And it's not as hard or complicated as you think. It's a choice. It's a decision to come together and lock arms with other leaders, with other churches, to drop your agenda for the sake of the kingdom of God going forth. Amen? Aren't you tired of just you? Man, I'm so tired of just me. I am so hungry to see God move through me, see the Holy Spirit activated and released. And guys, this is how we're gonna land the plane today, is I wanna talk about you. So again, 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Man, this is the thing. And so I testify, guys, not as some slick preacher, but I'm telling you, God is moving, and I believe he's going to do the same thing. Again, it's that humility thing. The reason revival broke out in Ohio, is breaking out in Ohio, because we're going to be going back there in a month or so. It's spreading into Auglaize County and Miami County and Dayton, and it's just crazy. So that's what we're pouring into right now, guys. We're seeing this stuff with our eyes. But there's something supernatural about these little farm communities. It's because you people are humble. You people are grassroots people. You don't care about big and flashy. You care about what is God doing. And that's what we want to be a part of. Amen? Awkward, I want you to turn to the person behind you and just smell them really quick. Just go, just kind of smell them. I am the ruiner of holy moments, man. I'll tell you that right now. Just kind of. Anybody smell good? Anybody smell good? Do you see? Don't come up here and smell me, man. I'll tell you what. It ain't pretty. You guys have a fragrance. And when you hang around Jesus, you start to smell like Jesus. And I just love this idea of anointing. Again, Pentecostals and Charismatics. This is my lineage. This is what I come from. But what's anointing? We talk about that. What is that? I want to share a story out of the book of 1 Samuel, just real quick. While you're turning to 1 Samuel 16:13, just want to point out this one little scripture. While you're turning there, 1 Samuel 16:13, I'm going to share another scripture, which is Acts 4:13. And this has become one of my favorite scriptures just for probably the last 10 years. It says this: when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note. The Bible says that these men had been with Jesus. They had the fragrance of Christ. They had the passion of his heart. They looked at them, and that's where Christian comes from, little Christ. They look, those guys look and smell just like little Jesus. Huh. Well, what do we do with that? Well, we'll probably kill them. Let's leave them alone for right now. I want to tell you guys that you guys, if you are in Christ, you have a fragrance about you that other people can smell. So whether or not you're going out guns ablaze and preaching the gospel, whatever, there's a fragrance about you. How many have experienced this before? Where like people just come up to you and you're like, I don't know why. There's just a peace about you I'm drawn to. Has that ever happened to anybody before? I love that. That happened in a little hospital room. I was with my friend. He was getting a stomach surgery at the VA up in Minneapolis. I'm sitting with his wife, comforting her. She's kind of, whatever, hysterical about it and just struggling. And I'm just ministering Jesus to this woman. And this guy over here, he just kind of like was listening to the conversation. And he comes and scoots right up to me and sits in the seat next to me. And he says, "Hey, man, there's just something about you. But I heard you talking about God. I had a vision of God one time." And I said, "Oh, really?" And he's got two big, he's wearing this Joe Dirt kind of cut-off thing here, Larry the Cable Guy type of shirt. And he's got two tats. He's got Jesus' face over here. He's got a great big demon head right here. This chap is confused, all right? I'm just going to say that. So he just like, "Yeah, man. I was strung out one time on drugs, and I just said, 'God, give me a sign.'" And he said, "When I woke up from being high, I was sitting next to a garbage can and the big sign of a church called The Crossing up in Elk River." And he's just like, "Oh, I just took it as a sign. And, you know, God's probably just hates me and all this stuff." And I got to lead him to the Lord right there in the stinking, in the room. I didn't do anything, guys. I'm telling you, I am not a super evangelist. I'm a worship leader, and I'm a hack at that, all right? So I am not some... It's just like the fragrance of Jesus was in the room, and he came over and he gave his life to Jesus. This dude was a puddle, and I had the word of the Lord for him. And normally I don't give strong words, but I said, "Man, I'm telling you what, Jesus is asking you right now, how long will you waver between two opinions? Are you going to trust in Jesus, or are you going to trust in this demon of addiction over here?" The Lord's saying, now is the time. I want you to choose. And then I just kept getting words for him, and it was just like the Lord was in the room, and this guy came to Christ. His name's Jeremiah. Come on, somebody. Like, that's pretty cool. And I didn't do anything. I was just obedient and just open to what the Lord was doing, amen? Guys, again, this is not complicated. When we get into training and all that stuff for Dodge County, don't worry. I just want you to put you at rest. It's going to be okay. We are going to hit the streets. We are going to do some door-to-door stuff. We are going to go pray for businesses. We're going to go pray for churches. But it's okay, because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Holy Spirit's in you, and he wants out. Amen. All right, y'all, check it out. I love this in 1 Samuel 16:13. Do you got it? Can somebody just read that real quick out loud, just that verse? Amen. Did y'all hear that? Samuel showed up and anointed him in front of all his brothers. Bam. Guess which chapter Goliath is in? Is it before this or is it after? It's after. He shows up and he anoints David. And then in chapter 17, he goes and he kills that foul Goliath. And I want to tell something here, guys, that before David did anything, before he cut off the giant's head, before anything cool, before winning the victories with the armies, before anything, guess what? He was anointed. Anointed means called out, set apart. Friends, 1 Peter tells us this, that you're a royal priesthood. that you're a holy nation, that you're anointed and you're called and you're chosen and you're dearly loved. Like, this is it, y'all. This is it. You guys, you are the sons and daughters of God. I love what John says in 1 John. He says, how great is the love that Father God has lavished upon us that we should be called sons and daughters of God, children of God. And then it says this, and that is what we are, exclamation point. That's who you are, y'all. It's who I am. We sing that song, you're a good, good father, right? It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And that's what we are, guys. That is who we are. Your identity is him. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for your neighbor. It's not just for Benny Hinn. It's not just for whoever. It's for you. You. Don't you love that? You're loved by... Thank you, Lord. Jesus, he gets baptized by his cousin John. He comes out of the water. What happens? The Holy Spirit comes like a dove. Rests on him. And then what happens? Clouds split open and there's a booming voice that says, hey, everybody, listen up. This is my son in whom I am what? Well pleased. Guys, I may be presumptuous, but I just want to say this, that there is an open heaven over every person in this room and the Father is saying, this is my son who I am well pleased. This is my daughter who I am well pleased. And guess what? You maybe not have done one thing for God. It doesn't matter. You're called and anointed and appointed for now. You are living in the most crucial generation in history. We've never had technology like this. We've never had resources like this. We've never had the gospel at our disposal like we do now. And I just want to be bold and say, now is the time, my friends. Now is the time for us to be moved into action, for our spirits to be stirred out of apathy and sleepiness and complacency. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about me, guys. I'm talking about me. Now is the time for Josh Edwards to come alive in Jesus. Now is the time for Charlie Olson to come alive in Jesus. Now is the time for Ann Benson to come alive. Like, now, guys. Jesus was anointed before any ministry. David was anointed before he killed the giant. And so are we. And all we do, guys, is we just lay back and we rest and we function and flow out of that place of knowing that we are called and predestined for good works. I got two more scriptures for you. 1 Peter 2:9. We just already touched on it, but I just want you to get your eyes on the scripture. 1 Peter 2:9. It's one of my favorites. It says this, but you, turn to your neighbor, say, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You know what a priesthood is? You know what the Levites in the Old Testament? They were anointed with oil. They had the fragrance of the anointing. They had the fragrance of God upon their lives. They were set apart. They were holy. They were sanctified, just like you are. And so now in this new covenant, Jesus is saying through the Apostle Peter, he's saying, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Don't you love that? And you may proclaim the praises that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10 says, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Lord, I thank you that we have obtained your mercy, Lord. I thank you that we are called and chosen and set apart, predestined for good works, the Bible says. Wow, what a great time to partner with you. What a great time to be alive. Jesus, move through us, speak to us. May we be your light, Lord. May we be salt. Lord, help us, help us, help us. We can't do it without your spirit. We don't want to get in the flesh. bunch of people can unite over a bunch of things, cancer research or what, and it's all good. But they united once in the Old Testament. It was called the Tower of Babel. And it wasn't of God. Guys, don't we want to be a part of something that is of the Holy Spirit? It's birthed out of the heart of God to see the lost come into the fold, to see churches grown, to see people become disciples, lifelong followers of Jesus. Lord, this is our heart cry. This is what we want. Not a flash in the pan thing that we call revival. Not just a God bomb that gets dropped in one of our services and we're just rolling on the floor and we can't move. We love that stuff. That's okay, Lord. We love it. But God, I can't do it anymore. I have to be moved into action, Lord. We have to see the body of Christ mobilized. It's not just for our Holy Ghost party. This is to have a Holy Ghost party down on Nicollet Avenue and down in Casson in Manorville. It's to have a Holy Ghost party on the streets, Lord. That is my cry, Father. Move us into action. Move us into action so that you could receive your full reward, Lord. This is for you, Jesus. This isn't for us to get some notch on our belt. This is for you, King of Kings. It's for your glory. You will have your glory. Last scripture I got is Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to end with this. Oh, praise you, God. I'll say this. If anybody's going to walk out of here with one shred of condemnation or any of that junk about what I'm talking about, like you're not measuring up, in Jesus' name I rebuke that. That's completely the opposite of what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that you are the sons of God. What I'm trying to say is you have him in you. And he's just looking for a humble vessel. Check it out, Ephesians 4. And pillar. Oh, crikey. Oh, man, I love this whole thing. But we can't do that. Let's go to verse 11. Oh, but I really want verse 1. It's so good. Okay, all right, verse 11. We'll do verse 11. We've got to land the plane. Okay, here we go. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles. Some prophets. And then who? Some?
Evangelists.
And some?
Pastors.
And?
Teachers.
Right. We call this fivefold in the church. Again, it's one of those things that we all talk about but have no idea what it's about. Oh, Lord, release your apostolic anointing. Release your... Your prophetic anointing. I mean, come on, guys. Can we just be... It's awkward sometimes. And I'm the worst one. I'm the worst one. I'm a charismatic of charismatics. I am not dogging anybody in there like that. It is my heart. I love it. But guys, I'm just at a place where I'm just sick of being weird. Do you know what I'm saying? And look, God does weird things. Hello, we all know that. The Holy Spirit does amazingly crazy weird things. Amen? But the people out on the streets, they don't care about your weirdness. It actually freaks them out. It freaks them out. They don't care. It's totally irrelevant. What you think is God, I'm telling you, we got to learn how to speak people's language. We got to learn how to love people, listen to them, discern the situation, and respond to them like Jesus did. Jesus wasn't walking around clucking like a chicken. He shows up, John chapter, I'm sorry, God, I just want to call it out because I just know this is me. I'll cluck, man. I'll cluck like a clucking cluckerton. I mean, I'll do it. But the people don't care. What they want to know is how has Jesus changed your life? Yes. They want to know about Christ in you, the hope of glory. They want to know something different than what they've seen on TV. Don't they? Don't you? Apostles, going back to that was a total tangent. Wow, praise God. He himself gave fivefold, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I want to say this, guys, that there is a godly structure we focused on a little bit by honoring these guys, the pastors of this church, the pastors of the other churches. There is an authority structure put in place that we honor. It's totally cool, right? We love pastors. We love prophetic voices. We love apostolic leaders. We love evangelists. We love teachers. We honor them. But guys, it's not, do you notice like every one of those apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, are they capitalized? Look at it. Are they capitalized? Some people talk about offices. That's probably good. I don't even talk about office. People ask me, well, Josh, what are you? I don't know. I'm a freak. I don't know. I don't know what I am. And I kind of like it that way. I like it that way. There's been an abuse of this over the years. That apostles, I'm sorry, that is not capital A, somebody that has the authority to write scripture. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are people with apostolic gifts. There are prophetic voices. That, my friends, has been messed up over the years. That people's agendas get mixed into the words of God and it gets really muddy. And I'm telling you, God is asking the people of God. He said this. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And I believe that everybody is called to be prophetic. Now, there are people that will function more prophetically. I'm honoring this structure. The director of Kyle Martin, his name is Time Is Revived. No, the director of Time to Revive, Kyle Martin, he is an evangelist to the T. I mean, he could win the devil to Jesus or something. I mean, he's just crazy. I mean, no, he couldn't. But he's just an amazing anointed evangelist. And then there's some pastors, which you have here, and teachers. Roger has a really strong teaching anointing. You know, like, this is all good, and this is our structure. And so we honor these people who are in the fivefold, who are doing the work of the ministry. But guys, I want to read this one more time. Look, verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Verse 12, y'all, this is what I want to land on today. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of what? Ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh my gosh. Listen to this. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Come on, somebody. There's messed up stuff in the body of Christ today by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but in speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Guys, the reason we have structure, the reason we have pastors, by the way, do you know what the number one occupational burnout in our country is? It's the local pastor. These guys are getting cooked and they quit left and right. Why? Because they're trying to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor. They're trying to do the whole thing. And guys, I'm telling you, it's time now for the body to be awakened. Their call is that you guys are, that we're all together grown up into maturity and reaching our full calling in Christ. Amen? Amen? That is their job. It is not their job to save the world or save your marriage. It's their job to equip the saints for the works of ministry. And guys, that's what we want to do. That's what we're going to be doing in Dodge Counties. We're going to come alongside of this amazing church and churches like the Seventh-day Baptist Church and churches like Community Celebration. You just want to come alongside of you guys to see everybody launched into what God has called you to do.